Before we begin this episode, I want to give a shout out to all of our patrons over on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. Your support is the only reason that this podcast is up and running. I specifically want to give a huge shout out to all of our patrons in the BBF BFF tier, and that includes Anna H, Nini, Kathleen, Marisol, Delia, Elizabeth O, Miranda E, Guadalupe F, Christian G, and Evelyn P. Y'all are really the best. Thank y'all so much. And again, if you want to help us out, feel free to support us on patreon.com/bitterbrownfems. The link will be in the description. All right, let's start the show.
We'll do it live. Okay. Do it live. I'll write it and we'll do it live. Fucking thing sucks.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to another episode of Bitter Brown Fams. I am your host, Ruben, coming all the way from Los Angeles.
And this is your other host, Cassandra, coming at you from El Paso, Texas.
Tana Mama over here.
Yeah, okay.
So how you been? You got your vaccine shot already? I got my flu vaccine.
I don't have that. I don't have one. But I am COVID free, as we mentioned. We mentioned that in the last episode?
Last episode was you having the COVID.
Oh, okay. Well, then I am COVID free, bitches.
Congratulations.
Yeah, I'm COVID free. So, I mean, that's good. Good news. So, I don't know. Nothing in my life has been happening, though. I'm just COVID free. I survived. I beat it.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Are you feeling any of the weird after effects of COVID?
No. Sometimes I wonder if I could smell. It's really weird. Like, I don't know. Like, sometimes I put stuff to my nose and I feel like I can't smell it. And I'm like, is it me? Am I tripping? You know what I mean? Yeah. Or do I really can't smell. So, or like some things I can and some things I can't. So that's a thing that's been on my mind. But I can taste everything and everything's been back to normal. I mean, after like I was cleared or I started feeling better, I would still get tired a lot. Even though I didn't have any other symptoms, I just wanted to be in bed. But then I got better. And now I'm just in bed because of depression. So that's a win-win. It's a win-win here. So, yeah. But how have you been staying COVID-free over there? Yo, okay. Hold up. Someone on our Twitter was like, when Ruben posted our episode, like one of us got COVID, and then someone was like, I already knew it was Cassandra before even listening to the episode, and I want to know why. What does that mean? Damn. What does that mean?
Come for
that. Like, you look at me and you're like, this bitch is gonna get COVID. Like, and Ruben doesn't look like someone that would get COVID. Like, it's kind of sexist.
It's sexist?
Misogynist. It's Damn. Misogynist.
I thought it was funny.
It's biphobic.
I like retweeted it.
I know, bitch. I know you did. I want to know why. I want to know why I look like a COVID bitch.
Because you have that crazy life. You out there.
After I said, like, I literally do not do anything. Haven't done anything in 7 months. And they're like, yeah, this bitch got COVID.
Cassandra got COVID. She is a high risk. She takes those big risks in life.
But yeah, but I've actually been seeing a lot. So now, we also talked on our last episode, not just about me having COVID, but also about what was going on in El Paso, and our numbers have gone down. The only thing is, you know, keep in mind the holidays are here, and yeah. We usually don't see those numbers until, I don't know, like a few weeks after the holidays, like the spike. So that's what I'm scared of seeing that spike from like Thanksgiving and Christmas and New Year's. But for right now, It did come down, the high numbers. Obviously, COVID is still rampant, but it's not as bad. But again, right now, everyone's, like, at the mall, everyone's shopping, and So hopefully I'm just scared of seeing the aftermath of that. But I was going to say, Ruben, I did see like some stuff about what's going on in LA. Like I felt what I was reading was y'all are going through some similar shit. Maybe not, you know, 100%, but that y'all were having high numbers as well, right? And in hospitals.
Oh, yeah. All of SoCal is at 0% ICU capacity. Like they don't have any more beds in the ICU. Oh my god, my breathing is, oh girl, whatever. yeah, so everything is supposed to be shut down, but like none of the mayors are following it. I went to pick up some food the other day and the mall was packed. Like I went to pick up food across the street from a mall and like the mall was packed to the brim of cars. Like it was regular Christmas season.
That's how it is here, too.
So, I don't know. I don't know what it's going to take. I don't even know. I mean, I guess people are getting, like, the mixed messages, right? Like, COVID is real, but everything is still open, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in LA, it was like, you know, they said suggestions for places that they have to shut down. But you don't have to shut down if X and Y. And it was just the regulations for what is shut down was so confusing that people just went on like as normal.
Yeah, that's how it is here too. But you're right about the mixed messages. Go on.
And so, yeah. So, I mean, some things have shut down. Like there's a diner that, you know, I used to always joke about that, like, holy shit, who's going to. It was basically a Wendy's. I mean, a Denny's. And like people, that Denny's was like always packed, and I was like, why are people in this basic ass diner all the time? And that place closed their doors. And there's been a lot of places that closed, only do takeout now, but like either way, like things are still not as close as they should be. A lot of people I know have gotten COVID, a lot of people really close to me, and you know, some of them got it because they're essential workers, or they got it because they're acting a fool. But yeah, you know, the vaccine is here and all the rich people are getting to take it. All of Congress and the Senate, for some fucking reason, I don't understand why they were the first to get it. I really don't. So they can keep working? Like, what are they even doing? Like, they can't even, like, cut us a check for, like, all the troubles that have gone through this year for, like, all the unemployed people. And the countless houseless people. That's one thing that specifically LA, well, all of California, like they are evicting people left and right. And it's been like grisly, like in the news, like families being stripped of their homes because like the governor and the mayors, like they have not set rent protection plans, despite knowing that countless people have lost their jobs because of COVID. So it's just been infuriating watching all of this go down.
Yeah, so there's a lot, like right now with the vaccine that you mentioned, like it is very infuriating to see all the rich people and politicians get it, because it's like, yeah, like what the fuck are you all doing, right? Not only that, it's like if you were to get COVID, you have the best healthcare in the world. You're not gonna go jobless for having COVID, like none of those things affect you. Obviously it's all for show too, to be like, trust your government, you know, we're getting it. And it's like, we don't fucking trust you, bitch.
Trust you to do, like, what?
Yeah, after you let 300,000 people die already without any fucking relief, and now we're, you know. So that's very infuriating, I think, regardless of how you personally feel about vaccines. Like, that's just infuriating, right? To see rich people, like, televised getting the vaccine while we're still out here, like, can we have like some crumbs, please? And it's insulting, and it's insulting. The $600 stimulus,
oh my god,
bullshit is very insulting, to say the least. It's infuriating, but it's also just insulting. But it's also not surprising. Like, it's a joke. It's a fucking joke. It's like a slap in the face to everybody. I think we should all be, especially this year, aware of that our government does not care about us at all. And I think I don't, they just don't care that we know it. Like, they, it's just like the audacity of all of it is, it just pisses me off. I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do with $600? Obviously, you're going to take it because it's money and everyone needs money right now. But it's like, what do you think, like, it's just like the disconnect that they have. And I don't even want to call it a disconnect that they have, like, that they think $600 is going to cover your rent and your bills and your car payment and your childcare, whatever you need, food, you know what I mean? Like, especially for people who have children, like, it's not even that there's a disconnect. It's just that they really do not give a shit because they have so much money that they could have been providing us with to stay home. You know, if they would have been giving us $2,000 a month, more even, like, we wouldn't have had all those people die. People would have been like, okay, I can stay home. Like, I don't need, yeah, obviously people are still going to go out, you know, but it's like, not like this, not where people, and if they would have helped businesses, then businesses would have been closed. They would have been like, okay, I'm good. And they just don't care. They just don't care.
And the funny part is that, like, it would have probably cost them less because they would have had to do it for less amount of time. Mm-hmm. Right? Instead of, like, this, like, extended suffering that's happened in the world, right? That's, like, very unique to America because a lot of places did not experience the type of closures that we did, right? The type of extended COVID experience that we have going on here. So, if they had just provided folks with shit, like, way earlier on, you know, a bigger check earlier on, like, we would have been in an entire different situation. I just think about how, like, Nancy Pelosi announced this check, right, in $600, and I just imagine, like, how her outfit, her heels, her dress, her pin, like, how all those things probably equaled that much money. $600.
More.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, how any of these politicians could have picked any item of clothing off of their closet and it would have been basically the amount of that stimulus check, right? They I forgot what publication pulled out, like, the price of, like, Mitch McConnell's shoes, and they were like $500. It's just wild how they know that this is not enough and still they are pretending that they did something. They are pretending that they're helping us. When really, like, this is such a slap in the face that they're, like, they're begging us to revolt. They're begging the people to riot. Like,
I wish we would. And I know that's so easy to say versus, like, doing it. But I remember, I wish I had pulled up the article, but it was a few months ago. I think it was in France. I believe it was in France. They had announced, and this was, like, a country where I feel they were giving them monthly payments to and unemployment and stuff. And they had announced that they were cutting back, like, some unemployment, more unemployment, which they were already getting. And they revolted. Even though, again, they were getting taken care of, they were like, nah. Like, not even, like, accepting that they were cutting whatever percentage off. And the government, like, gave them what they wanted. And I'm like, I'm like, oh, I wish I was,
like, what would it take for us to, like, organize a general strike? Like, what? Because nothing has succeeded all year, despite it being, like, some of the, like, some gnarly conditions this year. Like, worse than a lot of us have seen in our lifetimes, right? And yet that's still not enough for some people. Like, so much so that 70 million people voted for Trump, right? Who, by the way, still hasn't conceded. Even though the Electoral College already voted Biden in, they haven't even started the transitional work for Biden to take office. Girl, I'm just like, what is going to happen?
I hate it.
Like, do you think he's going to leave office? You think they're going to have to drag him out kicking and screaming?
I don't even know.
I'm just scared.
It's just so embarrassing to live here. It's embarrassing. It's insulting. It's like everything. I just keep thinking of that meme that's like, every day I wake up in the U.S. Like, that's it. That's the meme.
Is it the Adam Driver?
Yes, the Adam Driver meme. Like, that's me all the time. Like, I fucking hate it here so much. Oh my god.
We are a crumbling empire, straight up. Like,
like it is, and it's wild to me that we're living, like, when I stop and think about it, like, that we're living through a pandemic, and it's definitely something, like, if I'm still alive when my child is learning about this in high school, for example, and I can actually be like, yeah, like, that, I remember that. You think, like, that happened, you know what I mean? Like,
you think the textbooks are gonna be, I think the textbooks are gonna be updated that soon?
They are. Believe it or not, like, they are quick with the shit.
Really, in Texas, don't they got some weird history shit going on over there?
Yeah, I haven't read it, but I remember, like, I don't remember where I had picked it up, but they've from what I've seen, the textbooks include, like, Black Lives Matter, Trayvon Martin.
Shut up.
And this was, like, when it was happening, like, they were pretty updated, so that's what I'm assuming. But regardless of when they'll update the textbooks or how they'll be like, our government sent $600 to its people. Like, some fucking, yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm gonna be like, nah. Like, we gotta tell the right history. But it's just wild to me that we're living through this. And I feel like it's not the last pandemic we're gonna see, that I would see in my lifetime, because of how, I don't know, I could be wrong. I mean, hopefully it's still, like, what, every, I can't do the math, you know, because we had, like, the Spanish flu or whatever, but
it's like every 100 years.
Yeah, but I don't know, it's just
to be honest, I had kind of forgotten that pandemics were a thing until it happened.
Because
why would I need to know that information?
Yeah, exactly. I don't know, but I don't know. It's just wild to me. And it's wild to me that it's December. It feels like the longest year and the shortest year at the same time.
You know, how long did you think it was the pandemic is going to be extended to? I thought we were going to be fine by, like, August of 2020.
Yes. Like, it's fine. By the time fall comes around, it'll be fine. And then now I'm like, yo, we're here till next fall.
The situation is just weird. It's, I don't know how we're going to go back to a regular life. And I think,
yeah, I think about that too. I'm like, okay, now everyone, like, let's say people have the vaccine and it's quote unquote safe. And it's like, it's so weird. What, they're just gonna be like, everything's open now. Go back to work. Or, like, if you lost your job, go out there and look for a job. Like, it's just, it's weird. It's gonna be weird. And just, like, getting used to, I don't know. Like, I feel like that's gonna trip me out too. Like, I don't know, like, but I think people are not talking enough about how this shit has fucked with everybody's minds and mental health and anxieties, and how the effects are going to last long after everything quote unquote reopens and goes back to normal, which, again, it's not going to be normal, but you know what I mean? Like, when we resume life, like, I don't know, like, I'm going to be scared of shit still to be close to somebody, I feel, or I don't know. Like, I watch these shows, all the shows I watch, I'm like, they're not wearing masks.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Like, they don't have to think about that. Like, they're all just hugging each other and they're all just hanging out. And I'm just like, it's so weird.
I was watching The Wedding Planner the other day and I was like, none of this movie is COVID safe. I just,
like, I don't know.
The thing I miss the most is,
like, for sure, I'm going to wear a mask when I'm sick.
Oh, I'm going to wear a mask all the time. That's here to stay, hun. Like, that is never going away.
I don't know about all that. I don't like the mask because it hides my beautiful face. But
oh,
if I were sick and I was out, I feel like that's a good idea. I'll do that. I never thought about it before, but now I'm like, oh, that's, you know, that's actually a good plan. That's a good idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like now that I think about it, now that I've had a year to think about it, I'm like, we've just been raw-dogging, like, our face, like, in public. Just people's nasty ass germs all the time, 24/7. No, ma'am. Like, that is not a thing that I'm going back to. So I think I'm just going to be wearing a mask.
I want to be raunchy again.
No, I am. I'm mask for mask 2021 and forward.
Stop. No, I hate the mask. I'm sorry.
I love the mask. You don't even wear lipstick. Why do you hate the mask?
I just said why. It covers my fucking face.
Oh my God.
I don't like it.
I like that I can also, like, laugh and nobody knows.
That's the only good thing, that I talk to myself when I'm at the store, or I'm singing, or I'm, like, talking out loud. Like, the fuck is this bitch staring at? And I'm like, oh, they can't hear me.
I mean, they Cassandra, it's not, noise-proof.
You know, well, you know what I mean. Like, when I'm far away, like, they can't hear what I'm, they can't see or anything. That's the only thing. But anyway. The 600 stimulus is fucking bullshit.
God.
There's, like, not even anything to say about it. It's just, like...
And, like, to give people, like... It's not that the government doesn't have the money. They they gave a tax relief to corporations that far surpass what they gave... the average citizen, right? Like, I think the tally was something above the $1 trillion mark, right? For corporations. And that's just to show you, like, where the government's priorities are, right? Porque son unos vendidos, because there's some sellouts. They have to respond to their corporate donors. That's who they have to take care of. That's who they decide, like, these people... pay for, you know, Nancy Pelosi's rent and her ice cream filled refrigerator. So that's who she gets to take care of. And it's just, I am feeling a little hopeless. Like, I, especially as we're entering this, like, new age of liberalism, where it's going to be really easy for people to hide the damage that liberals do, right? Because this $600 check, honey, it's like, it's a bipartisan deal, yeah, but it's like a bipartisan deal led by Nancy Pelosi, like a lot of people's, like, liberal hero. So in a house, right, it that is Democrat majority. So if that's the only shit they can pass and they can push through when they have the majority, like, what are they going to do when, you know, next year, you know, the Senate is, it, I just don't have any hope. Even if Georgia, for example, I know that there's two Senate runoff seats. Like, even if they win those, like, how much hope do I have for this, you know, legislative wing of our government that can barely get shit done right now? I don't know. I'm just losing it a little bit, because I don't see them trying. I don't see people holding them accountable. I see a lot of people who have bought into liberalism, who have bought into, oh, we have a month until Joe Biden takes office and, like, everything will be back to normal and we'll be fine. And that scares me a lot. Because I just think about how many of my friends are unemployed, how much loss there's been in LA, and how my family is going to be pushed out of the city that we grew up in, that my family has deep roots in, and that's going to be the same for a lot of, you know, immigrant families like my own. And I'm just, you know, I'm scared.
Yeah, I understand. I feel that. It is... it's like, like, they haven't been doing shit for the last 4 years, though. Ever, being real. But the last 4 years, what we talked about, I think, on our last episode or whenever, is, like, they never did shit to stop Trump. They didn't, no energy. All their energy went to Bernie Sanders and protest and denouncing looting or whatever the fuck, instead of actually fucking doing something. So it's not surprising that they're like, we got $600 for you all, we work together. And it's like, fuck Nancy Pelosi, fuck, I hate her so much. I wish she would just like, go away. But it is this whole, like, once Joe Biden, it's like, yeah, I mean, it's what we've been saying for, like, the whole year and all of our episodes about people going back to, like, it's fine. you know, Trump is gone. The evil has been defeated. And now I'm just going to chill out. And it's going to be worse. I don't want to say worse. It's just like, to think that everything is like going to go back to normal is... It's just so unrealistic. And especially under someone like Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, who are very... You know, we've talked about them and their interests, and it's just, it is scary. It is very scary, and the scariest thing is people going back and falling into just, like, being complacent and not caring, because at least under Trump, more people cared, and maybe it wasn't, like, the way that, you know, there was still, how do we say it, like, work to be done to push them more left, right? Like, but they were there, you know what I mean? Like, they were being awakened, they were... starting to be engaged, and I feel like that all of that work is just going to go out the window. So I think, you know, for all of us, like, we can't let that happen. You know, we have to keep pushing and, like, engaging with people. And the only reason a lot of people survived this pandemic is because of, like, community and mutual aid from people who themselves don't have that much money. You know, like, I wish I had money so I could donate to people. I don't have money. I don't have a job. I haven't worked. I didn't even get unemployment. And so it's like, all I got was $1,200. That's supposed to last me 7 fucking months or 8 months. Whatever month we're in now. And I have a child, and it's just like, even then, like, I will donate $10 or $5 or whatever. And it's like, we have to take care of each other, and we have, you know, and that's why a lot of people have survived, and a lot of people didn't survive, and a lot of people are not surviving, you know, and it's just like, it needs to be like, if anything of this whole shit that it has taught us the last 4 years, but especially this year, is like community, and to not be individualistic, to not let capitalism win. And then, like, the whole thing was like, you know, that they send you, like, they send 1,200, and then they were supposed to send, what, like, 500 if you have a child, which, yeah. I never fucking got.
Oh, damn.
I haven't gotten that. I don't even know if that's real. But I'm also like, why does my child get half, like, not, like...
Like, is my child not a full-ass human?
Yeah, are they not a human? They're only half. Not even half. That's not even half. So it's like, when people start, you know, making these tweets, like, we all need 2,000, and, like... 100 for each, for four children, only four.
Oh, yeah, that was a weird tweet.
If you have six children, like, sorry, only four of them qualify. It's like, no, like, children are fucking human beings. Like, every single person needs to get the same amount. Children are not, like, they're a fucking human. They need to eat, they need clothes. And I feel like a conversation that I would like to have too is like children's state during this whole pandemic, which is like a lot of people have left out, like, the effects of children themselves from, like, having to do virtual learning, which has fucked up a lot of kids, like, with anxiety. A lot of kids that I've seen, that I've read, especially kids in special education, like my child, like, it's been a lot on their mental health, you know, not even just with school, but with just, like, being at home all the time. If their parents lost their job, if their family got COVID, if their family member died, et cetera, et cetera. Like, this shit has also fucked up our children too. And to say, I don't know, just to leave them completely out of the conversation is whack as fuck. Also, like, you know, that a lot of our representatives wanted us to sacrifice our children and send them to school too. Like, it's fine, your child's, you know, especially if they're black or brown and poor, like, they're fine, even though they have, like, the highest rate for COVID. But anyway, yeah, just, like, they also need money, and it's not just, money's not gonna fix their, like, mental health either, but they also deserve to get, like, money for existing. But it's just, like, everybody, not everybody got a stimulus check. Undocumented people don't get stimulus, incarcerated people, some of them... You know, afterwards, like, there were some incarcerated folks that were able to apply, because, like, I don't know if you all saw that post going around. They only had, like, I saw the poster, like, they have until October, there was, like, a deadline, and it was, like, in 30 days, and I don't, you know what I mean? And it's, like, It's not like they're going to go into prisons and tell incarcerated folks, right? Like, someone had to have found out and then try to spread the word. And a lot of people incarcerated, like, don't have family that they talk to. They probably don't have money to communicate with other people. They don't know how to set that. You know what I mean? Like, if you didn't file your taxes, or, like, there was just, like, so many things. Like, I think it was also, I don't know if we talked about this, about, like, if you didn't pay child support, supposedly you didn't get one, which was, like, whack as fuck and racist, TBH. But it was just, like, not everyone got one to begin with. Not that it was, like, a fucking lot of money, but not everyone got a stimulus check. Not everyone got a relief. So, it's just very infuriating to talk about, to think about.
Man, oof. Yeah, and I'm just, like, looking at the vaccine schedule, and, like, I'm not, like, most of the people in our demographic, like, who are, like, ages 25 to 34, like, we're kind of in the end of, like, unless they're, like, nurses or doctors, like, they're at the end of the line for the vaccine. So that's, and that, so that's scheduled, like, that's supposedly, like, August or something like that. So that's not necessarily, like, encouraging.
Yep. And I haven't really seen much about the, I think I have, I'm not 100% sure about, like, their schedule or whatever, but it's like, come on. Like, obviously, I think frontline workers, medical workers should get it.
Yeah.
Incarcerated people, people in detention, they should be the first ones to get it.
Yeah.
You know, but I already know, like, incarcerated people, people in detention are probably going to be last, because, like, they haven't done anything for people who are being held in detention or people that are incarcerated when they could have been released. Oh. Half, more than all of them, but if not more than half of them could have been, like, released due to, like, health and safety. I mean, I don't believe in, like, the carceral state or anything has to do with it, but it's like, you can't even send them home on fucking house arrest. And again, that's not me advocating for house arrest, but it's like nothing. Like, there's nothing. It's just like, you just fucking let them die because, you know, because they don't meet there. We don't care about people in detention. We don't care about people who are incarcerated or, there's no way to social distance in either of these places. There's no way to be clean to where, even if you wear a mask, even, like, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Everything, it's just been, I just hate it here.
I think about that article that said that basically, like, it was talking about El Paso and how it's, like, there's, like, a lot of detention centers. A lot of people are held in detention there. And it's, like, if you think that the spikes in COVID are due to detention, then you are correct. Like, essentially, like, mapping out how incarcerating people and holding people in detention, like, that is a big hotspot. And, you know, that doesn't just stay with the prisoners, right? Like, when you think about the guards and things like that, like, they go back home, right, at the end of the day, and they go about their lives, and they also spread things. So it's the government being so tied to the carceral state that it refuses to even think about doing something for the greater good, right? Like, doing something for public health.
Exactly. And let me tell you something. My brother-in-law, who that I do not like, who is a Trump supporter, and I'm not going to go into him because I despise him, he is a correction officer. Oof. And this is someone who did not social distance and not wear a mask. Is a Trump supporter, so does not believe probably in COVID, even though he got it. Like, was just out there at restaurants, and he is a corrections officer, so that means that he would go to work, and then when he would go home, he was just out there. At restaurants, he was just out there without a mask, and then he would go to work. Do you know what I mean? And so it's like people like, and it's people like that, and people probably, you know, could have been safe at home who still has to go to work. But just people like him, like when I found out he got COVID, I was, I don't want to go into that, but I thought about how where he works and what that meant, and that he is such a piece of shit that he obviously didn't care to think, hey, like, I'm coming back here to where there's these people that are being held here, and I'm exposing them because I don't want to, you know, wear a fucking mask. And I just, you know, like, it just fucking pisses me off. And he's not the only one. I'm sure there's a lot of fucking, you know, people that work at prisons are fucking assholes. Like, they don't give a shit. So it's just, like, it's very infuriating. Like, but I'm like, but we're going to take a break because we're just, like, going in circles with this conversation because it's just, we all know you'll feel us. Like, I know we've been saying this in many different ways on many different episodes, but it's just, like, I'm sure we're all feeling it. So we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll not be downers. Hey y'all, don't feel like sitting in a waiting room right now? Planned Parenthood's got you covered. At Planned Parenthood, you can get high-quality, affordable telehealth by phone or video. Whether you need help with birth control, a prescription refill, or other sexual or reproductive care services, skip the waiting room and get the care you need when you need it. When you're ready, just book a virtual appointment at plannedparenthood.org/BBF. That's plannedparenthood.org/BBF.
All right, and we are back. You said we're not going to be downers, so we have to talk about very positive things.
Let's talk about Selena.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk. I mean, we're going to be downers about Selena, but we're going to keep it real. Did you watch?
We're not going to be positive.
Yeah, you know.
No positive reviews from Bitter Brown fans. Sorry.
Okay, so, I mean, just because we're not giving the situation a positive review does not mean that we are being negative. Does that mean?
Yeah. So, raise your hand if you've seen the new Selena series.
I am raising my hand.
Because okay, Ruben is raising their hand. I have not. I don't want to. I don't have time for that. I have all the time in the world, and I still don't have time for that series. So, tell us, Ruben. Tell us, since you watched it, because, I mean, I could talk shit about the wigs and the shit I saw, but you actually watched it, so please, you know, tell us what's going on. What happened?
It's bad. Like, Selena isn't even the main character. The main character is her father.
Did he write this?
Well, yeah, it goes through him. Like, everything Selena related goes through Abraham Quintanilla. Like, everything. So this is the story about how Abraham Quintanilla, her dad, helped her rise to stardom. Mm. And so,
okay,
you see all the sacrifices he had to make and all his business.
What were some of those sacrifices?
They lost, I forgot, he ran a business that I'm blanking on right now. And
okay,
after like some recession of like the 80s, he had to like give it up. And he focused on his daughter's career and his band, and he forced all his children to be musical, even though, like, one of them didn't even want to be the drummer. Like, the girl, the sister, Suzette, yeah, she didn't even want to be the drummer.
Suzette?
Yeah,
not Suzette.
She didn't want to be the drummer, but they made her be the drummer. And they had to move in with family members and, like, live in a trailer. Everybody in one room, so, like, five people in one room. And so that was the sacrifice. And then they all had to, like, live in a van as they were touring. And it was just, like, kind of Abraham Quintanilla, like, writing his own mythology, mythologizing himself. And the biggest plot points that Selena had in this fucking series was, like, oh, this boy likes me, but I can't tell my dad, you know? And then, oh, I want to make my own clothes. And what was the other one? Oh, my hair is my personality. And okay, my label won't let me wear my own clothes, which ties back into I want to make my own clothes. So those are the basic things, right? You don't find, other than that, like, Selena is this perfect angel, right? Who never does anything wrong, who has no interiority, who has no conflict. Like, Yolanda doesn't even show up until the last episode. And it's just as a foreshadowing for the next season. It is bad. She doesn't even look, I mean, she looks a little like Selena, but she's so tiny, the primary character. Like, she is tiny. Like, she looks like she's 5'2", 110 pounds tops.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what she looks like.
Oh, it is rough. And the wigs are distracting. They are so bad. And, you know, at first I didn't pay any mind because, you know, they're trying their best. Like, the kids, everybody's acting. Like, they're acting as much as they can. But then somebody brought up, like, you know, how come they spent all this money on making Princess Diana look like Princess Diana and all these, you know, in the crown?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. I've never seen it, but yeah, it's
gone. But the crown is, like, the super well-funded, like, bio series. And
okay.
They couldn't afford to give the same honor to Selena the series.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of that is because they didn't expect it to be a big show, despite Selena being like the Latinx icon, you know, for better or worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so for me, I watched the series just so that I can know what's up, but I don't know. For me, the problem is, of course, executives and production companies and, like, but also, like, well, the cult of Selena has annoyed me since, like, day one. Like, I was a Selena fan as a kid. I was a huge Selena fan as a kid. And always, her music always brought me joy. But then when I went into college and, like, it became, like, you know, my 20s and like, people made, like, Selena this untouchable icon, this untouchable figure. I was like, what are y'all... She's not that great. Like, she was a Jehovah's Witness who did not believe in women's right to their own bodies. Like, please, calm down. Like, whenever somebody worships somebody that much, or whenever, like, a group of people form this, like, type of following around somebody where they become untouchable and you can't criticize them, then I feel repulsed. And so I've been repulsed by the Selena mythology for a minute now. And seeing the series kind of reminded me why that is because Selena is one of the only Latinx stories that has been told, right? We can probably count the amount of Latinx movies and TV shows, right, in like a short list. But the reason that this story keeps being repeated and that there's so much programming, right? It's not always a series, right? The reason why there's concert series and the reason why there's always tributes to her and like Grammys and shit like that in Latin shows and things like that is because we're so hyper focused on her. And I don't understand why we can't just let her go and like let her rest. And I really hope that this shitty show is like a wake up call to the cult of Selena and you know, to just let her rest. Like, don't make merch of her. Don't buy no Selena tote bag that you saw at the swap meet at the Tianguis. Do not have a Selena dance fundraiser. Do not have a Selena themed night at your whatever get together. Like, just let her go, dude. Just like, it's just
Yahweh.
Basically, that's literally how I feel about Selena. I just do not get it. And what pisses me off is there's so many other artists, like contemporary and icons who have passed away, that could use the type of spotlight that we have wasted on Selena for so long. Because at the end of the day, every dime that is made out of like Selena's like makeup line or, you know, accessory lines or TV shows, it goes to her greedy ass father Abraham Quintanilla, who continues to exploit his daughter even in death. Because if anything I learned from this series is that Abraham Quintanilla, her dad, is just an exploitative piece of shit patriarch. Like, so people need to just, I'm sorry, like, reserve the greatest hits of Selena for like once or twice a year and then just put it away, girl. Like, her albums as a whole did not bang. Like, controversial opinion. Like, and that's kind of where I am on this issue. Yes, the series sucked, but they're gonna keep making her fucking corpse work as long as we keep hyper focusing on her. And as long as we keep presenting this, like, you know, second gen, like, aspirational image of this icon as like the Latinx story. Because at the end of the day, that's another thing too, is that like she is upheld because in so many ways she reached the goals that as Latinx people we are told we want. Right? Yeah. What do you have to say about this?
I agree with everything you said. Everything you said. I've always felt like, well, not always, until I started realizing it too, about how much, yeah, like the, I never called it a Selena cult, but yeah, no, it is. It's a very, when I started examining her, you know, her, I don't know, role or her, just her within the Latinx community and the romanticization of her and the glorifying of her and all that, then I started also feeling that way. I loved Selena when I was little. And I felt like, yeah, like she was a what I would call, you know, my representation of what I felt like, especially she was from Houston, you know, she's from Texas. She was Mexican-American, and I'm not gonna lie, we're not gonna lie, like, I think that Selena, I think that she was a diva, she was an icon. Maybe not a diva, but I think she was very iconic. I like her style. I love her style. I love, like, the way she danced. I loved her stage presence, like, her outfits. You know, she got, I just love that. So yeah, no one's denying Selena's talent or her impact or, you know, whatnot, but it is like, when I don't know, what I've always said is like, yeah, just let her rest in peace. I don't know why people aren't satisfied with the movie. That's what I keep saying. Like, the movie was good. It was done right. It was good acting. J-Lo actually acted in that. She did good. She looked like her. Like, it was a good fucking movie, and I don't understand why we have to keep remaking a fucking series and a TV show and just, like, bringing it up every 2 years, every other month. There's, like, the same video of her being shared on Twitter. Like, it's just, it doesn't feel genuine. You know, it doesn't feel authentic. And then when it comes from certain people, like her father, like even like her husband, I'm sorry, her ex-husband annoyed the shit out of me. I had to unfollow him. Like, every other post was about Selena, and I don't want to be a dick, but I was like, you know, yeah, it's sad. Like, that was your wife. But I'm also like, at this point, it feels exploitive because it doesn't feel genuine. It feels like all you do, like, I don't know, maybe he's different now, but I just felt like she's just being exploited. Like, just fucking leave her alone. You know, if you appreciate her music, listen to her music. If you like the movie, watch the movie, etc. But it's, like, constantly, like, holding her up to the standard of, you know, that she's the only one that ever made it. She's the only one that represents us, or that she represents us at all. Like, all of us, right? That needs to be unpacked. If people didn't idolize her in this problematic way, then it wouldn't be an issue. Then it would just be, like, oh, you know, like, people don't do that with Jenny Rivera, for example. Like, she passed away, and people remember her. She comes up, right? But it's not like this, and maybe she's not the best example. Like, Celia Cruz, for example, right? Celia Cruz is fucking, she was amazing. She was iconic. But people don't, well, I mean, that's a whole other conversation, because Celia Cruz was Black. And that's why she's often, like, erased. Like, why isn't there, like, a decent Celia Cruz movie? Maybe I'm wrong. I didn't watch the show.
The show was weird. It whitewashed a lot of things.
I know that they made a show. Yeah. They made a show, and that was, like, that's awesome. Finally, like, her story is being told. I don't know how good that show was, but it was, like, I don't know how many years it took for them to even start to share her story.
That was, like a decade.
How many times when we think about Selena do we think about Celia Cruz in the same way or in the same context, when they're both, they should be on the same scale and the same impact, the same level of what we give Selena, like, we don't give it to anybody else. And obviously that is because she, not only is she, like you said, Ruben, what we think, like, the, she was the goal, like, she made it as an artist, a crossover artist, or like her impact, but at the end of the day, it's because she was a light-skinned mestiza, and she was beautiful. You know, there was like privileges to that, that we don't allow anyone else to, we don't give anyone else space like that, or time like that, or energy like that, especially if they're Black. Especially, you know, So I don't know. I agree with everything you said, and I just wish we would just stop it. I wish people would just stop it. Just like, the movie's good. Like,
I just think about how...
I don't know. What else do you want?
Yeah, like, y'all already have, like, meme pages upon meme pages that are, like, Selena-themed. Like, every Latinx artist, vendor that they exist has, like, a Selena-themed... Girl, the other day, like, my friend, like, was trying to buy me donuts, and she was like, oh, they have Selena-themed donuts. Like, there's Selena-themed donuts. Like, there's Selena everything. She's just been so commercialized. To the point this poor woman can't rest. Like, I don't know, girl. Like, what do you... And I think another thing that this brings up, another problem is that... when we focus only on this one image of Latinidad, what that then tells, like, Hollywood executives, right? And people like that, is that, like, they're so hyper-focused on this one icon. That is what Latinidad is. So, let's... Mm-hmm. Put that on TV. Let's put that in a movie, right? Let's consistently come back to that. And because of that, executives are only going to bankroll this type of narrative, right? There's assimilative, this, you know, ambitious narrative. This image of Latinidad that is like light-skinned, that is mestizo, that is thin, that is middle-class and, you know, middle-class aspiring or, you know, bourgeois aspiring, right? Like, that is... always going to be the image of Latinidad that Hollywood is going to want to put out, right? And I don't know, homies. Like, it is time to move past that because, like, as people continue to call for representation, if we do not move past of this type of iconography, we are not going to get different iterations of representation. Like... because they're not going to see... the people with money are not going to see us investing. If they don't see us investing in things that are stray away from this type of iconography, they're going to be like, well, if they're not investing in it, why do we have to? Right? Why do we have to put our money in a thing that we're not sure if, you know, this public is going to buy? Right? So, does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely makes sense. You know, all you bitches... let me stop, not bitches, but like that's all you tell people, like, we want another Selena show, we want another Selena whatever, that's what we keep getting, like, stop it.
Selena, oh god, what's your favorite Selena song?
La Llamada.
I don't know,
or yeah, the one that goes, I don't want to try to sing it. I'm sorry. I don't know how what the song's called. Sorry, not a real Selena fan, I guess. The one about the car. Gargacha. Paso pasito. Yeah. That one. Oh, also, Si Una Vez. Oh, that song's iconic.
Yeah, the song is super iconic.
So, yeah. I like Selena. I used to, like, dance in my grandma's clothes, and me and my cousin would pretend we're Selena and have like a contest over who could like impersonate her the most. Aww. Like yeah, like I fuck with Selena, but I'm also just, I want her, I feel like she's annoyed too, like she's just like, fucking leave me alone. Just let her rest, just Yahweh. So anyway, that's enough of the Selena. Like, if y'all want, I mean, let us know what you think.
They're like, I'm canceling my subscription to Bitter Brown Fams because y'all are Selena haters.
No.
They're going to be like, my aunt was Selena.
Oh my god, remember when Kim Kardashian dressed up as Selena and she did that terrible dance?
I don't remember the dance.
She did like this, she had to do like, you know, like Selena would spin all the time. She tried to do like this, it was so, she's so awkward, like obviously she can dance, so it was just like the
I remember Demi Lovato dressing up as Selena. I remember her looking good.
No, she didn't. I don't like, you don't her, like, I'm sorry. Lovato? She did not look good.
Wow, she's your Mexican sister.
I don't
sister.
Like her. I don't know her.
Wow, she's from Texas too, like you, she's from El Paso.
Yeah, no, she's probably from Houston or Dallas. Oh my
god. She's from Corpus Christi.
Oh, okay, well.
Selena Gomez is also a Latina sister.
Yeah, she's from Dallas, I think.
Damn, they just make the Latinas out there, huh?
Yep. Cool. Yep. But anyway, moving on from Selena.
Moving on to other Latinx stories. Like Elliot Page, Academy Award nominated actor, came out as trans, which is super dope. It brought a lot of joy to see them living their truth. I've just been a fan since the Juno days. Like, I used to watch Juno, almost weekly when I was in high school. I thought it was super funny. I thought the writing was super sharp. Like, Diablo Cody's writing was hilarious. And knowing that it was, like, that writer's, like, first screenplay. Yeah. And Juno and Elliot Page's, like, first starring role. Right? Except for Hard Candy, you said. Yeah.
I think Hard Candy was their first. If I'm not mistaken. But, yeah. I love Juno, too. Like, and whatever you feel about Juno, like, Elliot's acting was so good. Like, well, they're just a good actor. But
people don't like Juno?
In Juno specifically, I felt like their acting was really... I like Juno. I liked it a lot. I saw it, like, twice in theaters when it came out. And then when, like, Kemia Dawson was playing, because I love Kemia Dawson, and I loved her a lot in high school. When I heard, like, the soundtrack, yeah. You know? Like, I'm like, are they playing Kemia Dawson? And I'm like, oh, my God. Like, this movie's perfect. But, yeah, I was also when I saw that Elliot Page had come out, also I'm like, warmed my heart.
Yeah,
also and then there was a lot of people who were saying, like, well, what's gonna happen, like, now, like, on Umbrella Academy, like, because Elliot Page, you know, they came out as trans, and it's like, y'all don't have these questions when cis actors and actresses are playing trans characters, but all of a sudden, y'all are confusion about how this works.
They don't.
And y'all have a problem with this now?
Yeah, they don't know what acting is all of a sudden.
all of a sudden, they don't understand. Ugh.
Yeah. So, if they feel comfortable, anyway. It would be dope to just see them play a cis character. Just, like, to flip the script.
Yes. I love it. I love that. I love that the transphobic people are, like, shook. They're like, wait, hold on. No, this isn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
There's also some white lesbians bringing up how, like, Elliot took up space in the lesbian community for so long.
Oh, shut up.
Yeah.
God. Just shut the fucking fuck up.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't see that. I wasn't online when all that was happening, but ugh. I could already imagine that. I already imagined the TERFs. Like, fuck out of here.
Yeah.
So fucking...
Yeah.
Yeah, and you took up space in the straight community all those times you were in the closet. So shut the fuck up.
In the straight community? What is the straight community?
The straight community is like, is this a date? And then it's like them eating in their car.
Straight,
like Chick-fil-A.
The straight community is them asking on Twitter, is this a date? Like, random ass pictures of fries.
Yeah,
on
it's
thighs.
Like Chick-fil-A in the car.
Chick-fil-A in the car.
It's like the girls that tweet, like, oh, my boyfriend knows I love ranch, and he bought me an extra ranch.
Oh, my God.
I don't deserve him. Let me stop. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
Straight culture is like gender reveal parties.
It is like causing wildfires.
Straight up.
And killing people.
Straight up. Oh, my God. No, I just... This also made me think about how, like, I don't know if, like, I can't imagine being in the public eye and, like, trying to figure out your sexuality and your gender under that much scrutiny, and whether or not like, we give space to people to figure that out, right? Because, like, this person, like, this, you know, turfy tweeter was saying that, like, Elliot took up space, right, in the community. But mm-hmm. it's, like, they were trying to figure their shit out. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, you know, I think about, you know, friends who have done drag, right, and then only later in life mm-hmm. to figure out that they were trans, right, and it's like they didn't take up space in like the gay community or shit like that. Like, they are part of the community and they used a certain art form to figure that it helped them figure themselves out, right? And similarly mm-hmm. like, I don't know, I feel like people want to have these strict walls between the L and the G and the B and the T, and it's like, I don't know, I grew up very much of like non-segregating these letters and understanding mm-hmm. that people will flux in and out of acronyms and labels, and I don't know. I mean, when I started my LGBT journey, like, you know, I was like a cis, just gay person, gay man, and now I see myself very differently, right? And I just think about mm-hmm. like, you know, would somebody think, oh, I took up space in cis gay male spaces, and it's just like, that is not a mm-hmm. that is not how the world works, right? The world and us figuring our identity is messy. Not everybody knows who they are on day one, right?
Yeah, for sure. The people that would even think that are just, they're TERFs. Not just TERFs, they're just whack as fuck. Like, that's such a, like, and I bet those people give more spaces to, like, straight people who infiltrate LGBTQ spaces more than they do, like, fellow actual LGBTQ folks, you know, who are figuring themselves out. And, yeah, I can't imagine doing that, like, as a celebrity. Like, and having to come out on that scale, you know what I mean? And also, like, Elliot Page has, I think, always been just like a trailblazer. I don't know if that's the right word, because they were one of the first to come out when they came out as, at that time, as a lesbian, you know, as gay. I remember that. Like, I remember them coming out and it was a big deal, and like, they didn't get cast in a lot of movies because of that in Hollywood. And now they've come out as trans, and I'm glad that they're on a show already. Like, who knows, like, what would happen if they were in between jobs, you know, like, that's a real thing. And I hope that doesn't affect their acting career, but it could be a thing. It is a thing. It's real, you know. But nonetheless, I'm very happy for them, and I'm very excited to see Umbrella Academy next year.
Me too. I'm so hyped for them. I am excited about the possibilities of, like, you know, what if they do play like a trans character and they go through that mm-hmm. journey? Like,
I thought about that. That's so cool.
That would be the first time a lot of kids see a trans superhero. I know that mm-hmm. I know that one exists, like in Supergirl, but that just doesn't have the type mm-hmm. of reach that Umbrella Academy does. Yeah,
I think our father Gerard Way would be very happy with mm-hmm. that.
Shout out Gerard Way. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so congratulations, Elliot Page. Also a good tweet that I saw about it was like, thank you, it was a trans dude being like, thank you, Elliot Page, for choosing one of the names, because like trans mass folks, like, a lot of the names they pick are like Mason or Elliot.
Is that right?
Yeah, or like, it's that. Like, you either pick like a very Victorian like name or you pick like an object, like
like an, what's an object,
like an, I had one friend whose name was Adden, like Adden and Subtractin.
Okay. I love that. Yeah, no, that's cute though. I like Elliot Page. I think it suits them. But, yeah. I just love Elliot Page. I think they're super cute. And I feel like, who did they call out? Oh, Chris Pratt. Sorry.
Oh, Elliot Page call out Chris Pratt?
Yeah, like on the Colbert. Like, no, not the Colbert. It was like on a late night show. They were like, yeah, this bitch homophobic. He goes to a homophobic church. Sorry, it's because like the other day I saw that like Chris Pratt, Star-Lord, like his character is actually bisexual.
Yeah. I don't think they know that though.
Oh my god. Oh, it's just funny. If it were true, it would be funny. Not really. I guess it's not funny because I it's actually not funny that a fucking homophobe would be able, that is given the right to play like a bisexual character, but you know what I mean. Whatever. Fuck Chris Pratt. Anyway.
Fuck Chris Pratt indeed. In case you didn't know, he goes to like a church that believes in like conversion therapy, and like he's married to Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter actually. So with that what you will. That. Yeah.
I've never seen her.
Well, I've never seen her either. I just know that Chris Pratt is married to into hardcore Republicanism.
That makes sense.
Oh yeah.
Now that you're mentioning that, yeah. That does make sense. More on Latinx news. Shia LaBeouf canceled again. I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he was canceled already.
Yeah,
but,
he called a cop the N-word. Like a while ago.
Oh, yeah. I do remember that. There was something else. There was something else that happened. Maybe I'm wrong. But a few weeks ago, FKA Twigs sued Shia LaBeouf for the abusive relationship that she had with him. And I read the article, but y'all know with depression and this pandemic, my memories. I don't know how long they dated. I'm sure it said it when I read it. But regardless, they were in a long-term relationship and she detailed, you know, a lot of the horrific abuse that she experienced while she was with him. And she sued him, and I think she had stated also, obviously she's not suing him because she wants money from him. She's suing him because she wants to make a statement. She wants him to be held accountable. And I think she also mentioned that she wanted to donate that money from that. If she wins, she would donate that money, I believe, to domestic violence survivors. Yeah. So, I think that reading that was a lot. So heads up, if you want to read that, it's like a kind of graphic with the abuse, right? So trigger warning on that. But it's not surprising to me. I'm telling you, I've read, like, there was something I read about Shia LaBeouf that, regardless, it's not surprising. It's not surprising from any man. But Shia LaBeouf is someone that I feel like the internet praises a lot for being like a cool, you know, cool guy. Like, he's so cool and he's funny, or he's like unbothered. I feel like that's like the thing with him. And so I already know people are not going to cancel him because, you know, people, they're just not going to cancel him. But it's out there. Yeah. And he hasn't made a statement. Oh, he did make a statement. His statement was,
he accepted like some of the allegations.
That he also hurt himself in the process of being drunk. Like, I think the thing was he was blaming it on being drunk. And it's like, y'all need to stop with the drunk shit, because a lot of us get drunk all the time and we do not abuse people. So if you abuse people while you're drunk, guess what? You're an abuser and you need fucking help. And maybe the alcohol, you know, cranks it up a level, but the alcohol does not make you abusive. Okay? Like, it's already there. So that is definitely not an excuse, and it's definitely not an apology either.
Yeah. I just think about how many of us might have grown up in households where abusive drunk family members were normalized, right? Like, I definitely came from that type of household, and how, you know, that type of excuse that Shia LaBeouf was trying to pull about how it's the alcohol's fault, like how that, we've heard that a lot. A lot of us have heard that a lot. One of the biggest discussions that people have when we talk about abolition is like, what happens to abusers? And here FKA is outlining like, she doesn't want this dude to go to prison. Like, she just wants compensation, you know, for her own repair, right? And and for the repair of others, right? And so that is one way, right, that you can get back at the abusers to hit them in their pocket if they have it, right? If they, and Shia LaBeouf is a mega rich person. So, you know, all the strength to FK Twigs. She has been put through hell. Oof, because when she was dating Robert Pattinson, she faced a lot of racism from that dude's fandom. And now that she's, you know, survived all this abuse from this other big name actor, like, there was immediately a lot of people who were not ready to believe her. And that is just, like, the Red Scare podcast, which is that communist podcast that is run by that girl who did the Sailor Socialism. You remember her? The one who was like, I just want healthcare, honey, when somebody talked to her. And there's this huge communist podcast called The Red Scare, and it's run by two white girls, and they were like, oh, FK just did it because she wanted money, because she knew that everybody was going to believe her because she's a woman of color, blah, blah. And I was like, in what world do you white bitches live where people are readily believe women of color when they announce that they are in pain, that they have been abused, right? Because it just doesn't happen. Like, even white women, I think immediately about, like, Johnny Depp's, ex-wife, Amber Heard, right, who's been in litigations for like years trying to, you know, get justice from Johnny Depp, who also put her through a lot of abuse and all the shit she's been going through, even though it's been like confirmed through multiple like sources that Johnny Depp is an abusive person, right? And so I just think about how even in quote-unquote like progressive spaces, like, you know, that communist podcast I brought up, The Red Scare, it's like, it's huge. Like, those girls bring in like $20,000 a month.
I was about to say, like, a communist people are saying this? Like, what?
Yeah.
And they're defending a rich person. Yeah,
they're defending Shia LaBeouf, a rich white man.
Okay.
And I just think about how, like, even in these type of spaces, like, they are not equipped to protect survivors, to, they're not equipped to create the type of environment where survivors feel like they will be heard, right? Because, you know, what if these people are out there organizing? Because I think about immediately when I heard these two girls talking about how, like, they don't believe FKA Twigs, I think immediately of like the DSA and how there's been some chapters who have been accused of, like, you know, sexual harassment and abuse and things like that, and weird racial and, you know, patriarchal dynamics, and particularly in LA. I remember 3 years back, I wanted to get involved with them, and hearing the news that, you know, that there was, like, not only was there allegations of abuse against some of their leaders in the DSA LA, but also that those same leaders were out, you know, making fun of, like, they were caught on video making fun of survivors, and like how a lot of our spaces are so filled with abusers, right? Who use the language of socialism, who use the language of social justice to continue and to find different victims, right? And yeah.
Yeah, no, it's very real. I just wanted to add, obviously, just because you are a communist or socialist or leftist or whatever you want to identify as, like, we still hold, like, very also abusive, also problematic, also whatever the fuck you want to call it, views, and it doesn't just automatically absolve you from certain things. So it is something that we need to keep talking about in regards to abolition work and in community, because it still exists. I think when I went into community organizing, you know, there was a part of me that was like, everyone here thinks the same way I do, and we're all on the same page of, you know, what abuse is and misogyny is and how to be trans inclusive and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? Because you're in a space where you're talking about social justice and you're talking about doing community work, and then you get there and then I'm like, oh shit, like, it exists here too. And it, I think, I don't want to say it's worse necessarily, but it's kind of more fucked up because you're doing this work that's important, and it's, these things are still existing. And a lot of times we haven't gotten to the part of how to do conflict resolution and how to actually show up for survivors in those spaces and those very intimate spaces, and how to protect them and how to hold people accountable in a very not in like a punishing way. And it's like so much work that needs to be done. It's not just like, you know, we're all here to do anti-gentrifying work. It's like, it's so much more than that. And that abuse exists in those spaces. And sometimes it's like, I don't know what the word is, but I don't know if sneakier is a word, where it's like, because again, you think like all these people are feminists or all these people are doing anti-racist work, and therefore it means that I'm safe here. And a lot of the times these people use that lingo to be manipulative and to gaslight you and to abuse you, and you think that they're a good person because they're in these spaces. And so, yeah, you know, me and Ruben, obviously we talk about celebrities, we talk about pop culture because it's entertaining, right? We're not like boring or anything, and it's fun. I like it. I love like talking about pop culture and celebrities, but it's also because like it doesn't happen on the same scale and in the same ways, but it also like, I don't want to say it inspires, but it reflects our lives too, right? Like if someone like FK Twigs or another famous, like even a white woman, like Kesha, for example, that wasn't even believed. This is like a rich white girl. Then like, what does that say about like people that are not famous, people that are not rich, people that are not white, and how we need to show up for those people, right? And like how we should have those conversations, having those conversations about Kesha. And what people think about that also reflects, like, what people in our circles think about us, and how people, you know, always say, like, very hurtful things around, like, let's say someone's talking shit about Kesha, they don't believe her, they're, like, you know, going on, and then your circle, there's a survivor there, you know, and you don't know that, because obviously they don't fucking trust you, because of shit that you say. So, yeah, what were you going to say?
That reminds me that, like, the Grammys nominated Dr. Luke for another Grammy this year under a fake name, under an alias, and Fiona Apple caught it, and she was like, why are, you know, just a few years ago, y'all had Kesha over here singing Praying, and, you know, didn't they have, like, a whole thing where, like, it was all the women dressed in, like, white or some shit? Singing with Kesha, and then now you're gonna still nominate Dr. Luke? Like, it just shows like the hypocrisy of people. People are not ready to believe any type of survivor, like, let alone a woman of color. So it was just angering to see that from like a so-called like socialist communist podcast. Not that those girls ever get a shit right, because they are a fucking mess, but they are so, they have such a big support. Like, they are huge on Patreon. Like, them and the Chopo Drop House people. Like, girl, seeing how wrong they get things so often and how damaging and hurtful Chopo Drop House and the Red Scare are, and yet how supportive they are, like, it really does bother me. Because I don't get why people support them, other than being white. And, like, spilling out, like, some, you know, so-called theory or analysis every now and then. But...
yeah. Well, you know, everyone loves mediocre shit. Sorry. I mean, you want to fight? Let's fight. Bitter brown femmes against these red scare bitches. Let's do it. If you're listening, if someone goes and tells them.
I don't think we have overlapping audiences.
No, yeah, I actually read what Fiona Apple said. I'm glad you brought it up. Our Latina sister, what did we call
Fiona,
her?
Fiona Manzana.
Fiona La Manzana? Or Fiona Manzana. Fiona La Manzana. Yeah, she was like, so she was nominated for Best Album. I think it was Rock category, if I'm not mistaken. And it's the first time that all the nominees are women. And so she was talking about how excited she was to just be nominated with this group of women. And she said that she wanted to, you know, to make like this t-shirt with all their names and take a photo and kind of celebrate. And then she was like, I can't, because it feels like I'm rewarding the Grammys, or I'm like, this is what they want from me. Like, they want us to settle with like, oh, you're acknowledging us, or like now it's all women and so we should be thankful. Well, at the same time that you're doing that, you literally gave this abuser and this rapist a fucking, you nominated him after 2 years ago or whenever the fuck the Grammys were, you had Kesha on there as some fucking, you know, stunt, publicity stunt for views, you know? So like Fiona Apple was talking about how she, her ideal situation would be to get all of the women that were nominated to boycott the Grammys. And yeah. So shout out to Fiona Apple. You know, she's always, she's down.
She's such a down
person. All the time.
I truly love Fiona Apple.
So this is our Christmas episode after we said all this random shit. This is, if for if you didn't notice, this is actually our very happy Christmas episode of 2020. I guess it reflects what 2020 was
like. What do y'all want from 2020? Like, I don't know, has there been, I mean, there's probably been good news. There's some, there's some white girl on YouTube that like has this show called like Positive Leftist News. But we're not that bitch, so
that's not us. Sorry. Some people had good years and I'm jealous of them. Like, there's some people on Twitter that are like, I love, like, this year, I, know, like, all their accomplishments.
You know, I'm what, like, I'm pissed what? About? Like, I'm found people succeeding this year. What I'm pissed about is, like, people who found love this year. What's that about? Let's talk about that, bitches. You found love during a fucking pandemic? Get the fuck out of here.
I mean, it's probably because they were bored.
Girl.
Let me not. I'm sorry if that's you.
I've been on Grindr and Twitter and Tinder, and like that has not yielded any results.
Well, people are scared. They're scared.
A lot of these people falling in love and shit. They're out here living their best life.
They're probably the anti-science people that got together.
Yeah, you know.
Like Ariana Grande, apparently.
Let me not judge that poor girl.
She quarantined with this guy, and now she's engaged.
I never even heard of this man. Like, where is she finding these dudes?
That's straight culture.
That is straight culture. Getting engaged out of nowhere.
You got engaged during a pandemic because you're quarantined with this motherfucker for like 7 months. That's how long they've been dating during, like. Yes, they've only been dating like the length of the pandemic, and now they're engaged. Damn. And like that makes sense because they haven't seen anybody else.
You got the full scoop. E! News over here.
Well, that's what I gathered, folks.
Oh damn, I thought they had been dating for a while.
Nope, I read all about it.
You know, that girl, but
good for her.
She's trying to settle down. She's trying to have children and shit.
I guess she's really young, but I mean, it's her life. It's
like
her life.
My sister's,
she's a Cancer. Yeah, that makes sense to me.
I don't know.
Sorry, Cancers.
I was thinking about how all my sisters got married, like, or like got paired up, like at 22. They were like, "Nope, this is it. This is where I'm going."
I guess. Yeah, actually, I do know.
I mean, half of
like
them
that.
Got divorced. Well, most I have. Yeah.
Oh my god.
So, I don't know how that was gonna work out with people. I don't know. I do think, in our, like, people used to get married young, because people used to die young. Like,
because there wasn't that many like options. I'm sorry. Like, if you're a woman, like, especially back then, like, what you needed to get married for financial security.
Yeah.
And because it was like, you know, especially if it was religious, like, you know, I get it. I think I get it. But they were, a lot of them were miserable. So.
Shut up, moms.
Shut out,
abuela. Oh my god. Yeah, my abuela. Oof. Yeah. Oof, my abuela. Yeah. Anyway.
All right. That.
I think the appropriate song would be like Daddy's Kitty. I caught Mommy kissing Santa Claus.
Mama. Yeah, we were like, which Christmas song should we play? Because we're so festive. Like,
I am super festive. And I love Christmas. Like, I really do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I don't know if y'all remember, some of our OG listeners will remember that for one of our Christmas episodes, we actually did play My Chemical Romance's cover of All I Want for Christmas Is You. And so, you know, we can't really replay it, even though that's like ideal. That would be ideal again. We should just play it.
This is our show. We do what we want.
Yeah, fuck
even
you
though guys. Due to copyright reasons, we can only play like the first 2 seconds for the public radio.
Yeah, not like before. Not like before, because now people. Yeah, listen,
we're trying
to be legit. More.
We're trying to end up on year-end podcast lists.
Yes. So that's why. Maybe if y'all were confused, like, why aren't you playing like the full album? Like,
why aren't you playing all 13 minutes of the track, like y'all used to? Yeah, it's because we're trying to go legit now.
Yeah.
We're trying to be featured on Time Magazine, top podcast of the year.
Yes. So that's why. But, you know, if you are interested, you can... You know what I'm going to do for those people that care? Because I feel like a lot of our listeners really like our music selections and are like, look forward to it. We'll make a Spotify playlist of all the songs we've ever played. And then if you are like, hey, that 2 second clip sounded good, I want to listen to the
that
full thing.
That shit was banging.
You can listen to it. Okay? Let's do that. Or always, I mean, obviously you can always look it up yourself, lazy ass, but I'm sorry, guys. We always record like super late. And by the end of the day, I am done. So,
but to be fair,
anyway,
we're going to say always irritable because she doesn't poop enough. Like,
oh,
I am
gosh.
Always here for poop conversations.
I hate that you tell everybody about the poop. You want to tell everyone how I don't poop enough, and that's why I'm mad. When I am mad at capitalism.
That's fair.
Not poop.
All right, what are we playing then?
We're playing Last Christmas.
Oh, yeah, iconic.
Which is such, yeah. We're playing Last Christmas, which is such an iconic song. I mean, it's very repetitive. It's repetitive, but I love it because it's like a sad breakup Christmas song. I love that. Usually all the songs are like, I miss you, all I want for Christmas is you, like Santa baby, and like, you know, cute, good feeling stuff. And this guy's like, nah, bitch, you broke my heart last Christmas. So this year, nah. Giving it to somebody else.
You gotta give it to somebody else.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we hope that, I don't know, any last thoughts, Ruben? So wait, quick thing, update on our merch. Let me tell y'all what happened real quick. So I got the merch. I'm staring at it here. The boxes are in my room. But when they were being delivered to my house, so embarrassing. So like I was already, it was like a 10 p.m. already, and I was in my bed, and Ruben was like, did you get the shipment, you know, for the merch? And I was like, no. Like, what? And they're like, yes, it says it was delivered to your door. And I was like, what? And I kind of like freaked out for a second because I was like, no one has come here all day. And I ran outside, and it's like pitch black outside, and I ran outside, and there's just like three big ass boxes stacked on top of each other, like right in front of my door. And I'm like, what? Like, when did this get here? Like, nobody rang the doorbell. Like, what if Ruben hadn't texted me that? Like, they would have just been out here the whole night. And like, what if somebody drove by and like stole these boxes? And then like our shit was being sold on like Facebook Market. like a BFF merch.
The merch was there for like 3 hours outside of her door.
Like, I'm just laughing at that. Like, where are, like, somebody found these boxes and they're just like, what the fuck is this? Like, what is, you know, like, they don't know what the fuck it is. And then they're just like, let's just sell it. Could you imagine, like, people selling our shit?
Oh, my God. There's going to be, like, those señoras outside of concerts that are selling, like, bootleg merch. Like, there'd be señoras outside of our, like, speaking gigs whenever those resume in 2030. Just selling our bootleg merch.
I'm like, señora, ¿dónde harás esto? They're like, right. Just kidding.
No te preocupes, mija. Tú vas con Dios.
Okay, we'll just stop. But yeah, that was just anyway, that's just an update. I have the merch. The merch is safe. The merch is safe, y'all. Okay? And we are getting ready for y'all to, you know, cop it.
Yeah.
You're going to love it. It's cute. And
it'll be on display on Instagram.com/bitterbrownfams and also our Twitter, which is twitter.com/bitterbfams. probably the day after this episode airs, TBH. So December 26th, December 27th, 2020. You'll see it on our social media, and you'll also see directions
on how to get one.
Yeah, get tote bag, get a t-shirt, get a cap, you know? And we also have a very special surprise for our longtime patrons. You will be getting a message very soon. Yeah.
Yes. As a token of our appreciation, and also just everyone who's supported us, obviously, we always want to say thank you. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And with that said, we are gonna go have a very Merry Christmas, and we hope that you'll do too. And
stay home, be safe.
Yeah. Have a posada for one at your home.
Yeah, and then live stream it. All right, well, and we'll see if we kept our promise of how many episodes we recorded this year. Do not judge us, okay?
We had big goals this year. And we kept slightly on track despite the global setbacks, okay? Mm-hmm. So y'all can't even come for us.
Yeah. Yes. So we'll see you all on our next episode.
Take care. Bye.
Before we go, I do want to give a shout out to our I Know Her Level patrons. Thank y'all so much for supporting us. And that would be Yulisa, Yasmin, Vincent C, Vanessa G, Valentina R, Sarah M, Sandra B, Ronnie L, Natasha B, Nancy M, Miguel B, Marisol L, Magdalena, Lisbeth K, Linda Marie, Layla G, Laura R, Kimberly, Karina C, Joel M, Jocelyn D, Jen A, Yasmin R, Jacqueline A, Griselda M, Gianna R, Erika A, Cynthia P, Chrissy J, Clara P, Cassandra G, Bianca, Amy, Alana F, Ames T, and Abigail D, and Aranya. All right, y'all are the best. Thank y'all so much for supporting us. All right, take care. Bye.